Welcome to Spawn on Me, also known as Cult Radio, the official broadcaster of the true word of God as spoken by the Father, Joseph Seed. So listen close. Pearls of wisdom will fall from the sky.
Good Bracago, this is Kalu speaking. This is episode 210 of our show. We have a very special episode for you all home in Bracago. The wonderful folks from Ubisoft took us down to Hope County to talk to the creative director, lead writer, and a cult expert from the team. That's Dan Hay, Drew Holmes, and Rick Ross. So Tanya and I, we got a chance to hang out for the day, do some shooting, got some crossbow love, got some chances to run around on some four-wheelers and some other good stuff. And we're going to share some of that information with you all today with two really dope interviews that we have from the team. We hope you enjoy it. Let us know. Let the folks from Ubisoft know if you liked it. And we'll see you next week. Everybody in Bracago, what is going on? We are here at the Far Cry 5 event, hanging out in the barn.
Literally.
Literally in the barn, hanging out. It's Mika, it's Tanya here, and Drew. We have Drew, the lead writer on the team. Give the folks at home a little bit of information about you.
My name's Drew. I'm the lead writer on Far Cry 5. I've been at Ubisoft for 2 years now. Came here up to Montreal to start working on Far Cry 5, and it's been a lot of fun. Big team, a lot of big narrative changes, new characters and everything for Far Cry. So it's been a challenge, but it's pretty rewarding so far.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So having to get a chance to play a little bit of the game, even in the short amount of time, you can see that the story writing is coming in really, really strong from the beginning. Seems like everyone is kind of getting their legs into the world as soon as you kind of jump in. How was it kind of trying to figure out the groundwork and try to figure out the foundation of the story that you wanted to build and the world that you're kind of setting for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the big goal for us was to have a big, strong, bombastic opening. You know, the pedigree of Far Cry is always an opening that sort of starts mundane and quickly goes awry. You know, Voss at the very beginning, you know, losing Jason's brother and then going to Pagan Min, all the insanity of that. So for us, it was, you know, there were a couple things that were known basically when I joined the team. I was talking to Dan, I think it was August 2015, was when I first interviewed for the gig, and he said, you know, the game's going to be set in Montana. We know that it's going to be about a cult. We know that there's going to be a cult leader as sort of the main antagonist. And there's another thing that he said that sort of has to do with the ending that I don't want to spoil. Yeah. But it was you're going to be playing a cop, and it was going to be a customizable character. So there's just a couple touchstones. And from there, it was okay. Like, what are we going to do with this? You know, what is a super compelling story that sort of fits with the themes that we wanted to talk about? And I think, you know, it's been a big evolutionary process, finding the right cast and really understanding what the Father's message was, what he was telling about, what's actually drawing these people into this cult. Once, you know, those pieces start to slot in, you sort of start to ride that roller coaster. It's really loud. I'm sort of like getting distracted. Sorry.
It's like, that's what editing's for.
So it was about how do we grab the player right away, right? Put them in this situation that sort of at the outset doesn't really maybe seem plausible, but making sure that the context all fits so that the player understands, okay, this, I'm cut off from society. You know, my team is here and they need my help. And there's this cult that has taken over everything. And I've got no help and I've got to sort of really make my way out into this world and save the community, save my friends, and more importantly, have a lot of fun along the way. Because I think, you know, with Far Cry games, it's always that balance between the dark and serious story,
yeah,
and the fun of the open world, and sort of trying to figure out a way to merge that all into a really cohesive experience has been one of the bigger challenges.
Hmm.
Well, because I would think another challenge too is having this set in Montana, mm-hmm, in a very real place. Mm-hmm. And the way that people responded when they saw, oh, it's a cult leader, mm-hmm, and, you know, this kind of Joseph, you know, self-made Jesus, mm-hmm, figure. Were you surprised at the kind of backlash as from certain quarters as to, oh, it's a cult leader and he's a white dude and, mm-hmm, we're so angry?
Well, I think what's interesting, you know, when we first showed off the game, it's we didn't provide a lot of context as far as the story. And I think it's having that situation, having the setting and the characters we have, it's you can view this game through many different lenses, I think. And I think what's great now about being able to really show off the opening of the game, provide people the context of, okay, here's what the story's about, here's what this cult is after, and here's what your role as the player is in it. I think that, you know, it's, again, for us, it was about making sure that players, you know, just had a really fun time experiencing this game and taking down this cult. But at the same time, you know, recognizing that, you know, it is set in Montana, and I think, you know, the production of the game, you know, writing it, we're aware of what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. But not necessarily losing yourself along the way in terms of, we knew what the story we wanted to tell from the beginning, and making sure that, you know, we were staying on the same path that we wanted, because again, at the end of the day, it's about crafting a really fun experience.
One of the fun things about the Far Cry series has been being able to write really good villains.
Yeah.
How fun has it been to be able to write someone who is this over the top and just nuts and going all out?
It's been great, and again, it the character didn't really take shape until, you know, we found Greg. It's, you know, me as a writer, you know, you have an idea for what a character sort of sounds like, what the cadence is in my head, and I'm just sort of picking off of different actors that you may have seen in the past, and it doesn't really take shape until, you know, you get an actor who comes in and just takes what's on the paper and owns it, and all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, that's the character.
Yeah.
And then you go back and you start to write these scenes, and the collaboration, working with Greg, you know, sending him scenes and going, yeah, this is great, and his willingness to just open himself up emotionally. I think in the past, you know, Far Cry villains have always been sort of the charismatic psychopath, both Voss and Pagan Min, which were super fun and enjoyable. But I think for us, I wanted to sort of see if we could sort of bring that another level in of the belief in what he's doing, the commitment to his cause. You know, I mentioned to Dan early on, I was like, you know, Far Cry's done the charismatic psychopath. I want to see, can we make a villain that can we get a villain to cry and have it be believable? And I think we have. So I think the emotional arc that the character goes on is something that people probably aren't expecting, but it's something that now that it's done, we've seen everything, we've got the process. Like, okay, I think we did a really good job, and I think people will be pleasantly surprised at sort of the shape that the villain takes this time.
Nice.
Well, in terms of the villain and the voice acting and them going so well together, mm-hmm. did you have a chance to watch or be in any recording sessions and kind of literally see your words?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was in every single mocap shoot. I was there working, you know, with the actors and working with the director to make sure that what my interpretation of the scene was filtered through. David, who was directing it, and the actors, it was super collaborative. You know, sitting down, we'd start our table read, and I'd go, look, here's what we have on the page. But if it doesn't feel natural to you, if you're not... you don't feel that emotional connection, let me know. Let's sit down. I'm not married to any of this. The important thing is that it feels like real people having a real conversation, and we'll shape. I said, you know, if you've got to change a word here or there, and you're not feeling it, go ahead. If there's something that we need to have, I'll let you know. And just making sure that they felt that they had the freedom to just really play around with it. So for the cinematic mocap shoots, I was there. I sat through most of the audio recordings as well, just making sure that, because a lot of the time I'm the only person that has a lot of the context for what the scene is and what we're trying to do. And, you know, you have so many different voice directors, and we were recording in Vancouver, in Toronto, in Montreal, in New York, like all over. The cast is huge. We've got like 60 named characters. It's like, I think previous Far Cry games had like 10. So it's been a massive undertaking. I think casting is everything. Once you find that actor that embodies it, then you can start to write towards their strengths, and it really starts to take shape.
Last question before we let you go is, how do you figure and how do you kind of balance out when you're starting to write the story of how you want to have the conversation between the gameplay team and the writing team kind of mesh? And have you figured out and how you found you feel like there's a good connection between the two teams and how this particular story is going to get shared out?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the biggest challenge in games, right? And it's not just us it's not just the narrative team, the gameplay team. You've also, you're talking about the player. And I think that the way that the structure has changed in Far Cry 5, it's so nonlinear. After that opening that you guys played, you're really allowed to go anywhere and do anything in any order. And so all of a sudden, you know, as a writer, you're giving up a lot of authorship in terms of the cadence of the story, and also kind of the tone, because we've got characters that are very sort of fun and wacky, and then there are ones that are more serious and tied to the sort of main storyline of the cult. And you know, in a traditional sense, you go, oh, this isn't going to work. But I think putting that into the hands of the players to say, what type of experience do you want to have?
Right.
I think it's more empowering, and it's for people who just kind of want to come home at the end of the day and blow off some steam. If we're forcing you into this situation that's this dark, oppressive cult all the time, maybe it's, okay, I don't want to play that. Where if you pop in, you're like, you know what? I just kind of want to go have some fun and blow shit up with Herc or with Sharky. Go ahead and have that experience. So it's, you know, the collaboration between the gameplay team, you know, it's always about fun first.
Yeah.
Right? So making sure that what they want to do in terms of the core elements of the game are there, and making sure that, for me, it was a lot about, you know, saying, okay, we're going to embrace what you guys want to do, but it's just making sure that contextually everything fits together, right? And so the open world activities and even the small side missions, everything is tied to taking down this cult, whereas in the past, I think you would have had elements that you go, I don't understand why I'm doing this quest, because it doesn't seem like it's tied to my main mission at all. Even trying to figure out small ways where our ridiculous missions still in some way in that character's mind is tied to taking down the cult. It just makes things feel a bit more cohesive, even though the tonal scale can swing back and forth a bit.
Nice, nice. Drew, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us. Everybody at home, I think that the story is well in hand. I think you have nothing to worry about. Having a chance to play a little bit, I'm sure we can both say that things are going in a really cool direction. So, again, thank you, Drew.
Thanks.
And everybody in Bricago, we'll see you in a little bit. Hey, everybody. Bricago, we are here again. Far Cry 5 preview event, hanging out. We have some fantastic folks from the team. If you want to go around and introduce yourselves, please do so.
Sure. I'm Dan Han. I'm the creative director on Far Cry 5.
Rick Allen Ross, technical consultant, cult expert.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Tanya and I are here. We're going to talk a little bit about cults. We're going to talk about just exactly how all this wonderful gameplay that we got a chance to mess around with a little while ago came to be, and also talked about why some of the stuff is in there that we didn't expect to see. So you want to go first? You
can sure.
You start it off.
All right. So for Dan, we love that the game really doesn't shy away from religious imagery specifically, Christianity and Catholicism. So when you all decided to have religion play an important part of the story, what were concerns that came up?
I think we just wanted to make sure that whenever we build a world, and it's every facet of the world, that it feels credible and it feels real, and that it's something that, you know, when you had reflexes of walking around the world, it felt like everything was the right size or that it made sense. But at the same time, we also know this is a game. It's fiction. We want to be able to make it so that we can own it. So that's why we chose to build Hope County, Montana. That's not a place you can go to in the real world. It's ours. It's filled with characters that are born off of different people that maybe we've met or whatever else. But the truth is that they're ours, and they're our characters. And then when you think about the actual cult itself, we made it our cult, right? Yeah. And it starts with the father, building a magnetic character, doing a lot of research, looking at what it would be that, you know, I had to believe that this character would be able to captivate me.
Yeah.
That I would fall into this cult, and with a very short amount of time, I believe that this is something that could feel real. And I think that when we did our delve into cults and we looked into, you know, what it is to build a cult and how you do it, it was immensely helpful to have expertise to be able to go in and start talking about, you know, how does somebody get taken? How does somebody get their mind altered a little bit to be able to start to believe in it? And then how do we make sure that we do that and make it credible, but still make it ours and make it a piece of fiction?
Nice. One of the interesting parts about the setting, and something that everyone has kind of been talking about, like, all right, so you're now in Middle America, right?
Yep.
When you went to go do research, did you feel like there are some things that you kind of figured out and found in some of that research that specifically added some really interesting tidbits to the way that you wanted to tell the story and kind of share it out with the rest
For
of the
sure.
community?
For sure. I think that, you know, when you think of an idea of what something is, like when you see the game first time, and you get, at first blush, you think, oh, the game's about this, or it's like this. It was the same for us when we went to Montana. It's like, We had a cliche idea of what it was. And what was really interesting to kind of inform the characters that we built is just how people talk. They're very honest, right? Yeah. And I think there's a little nuanced thing that happens in the game where you can walk up to somebody and you can talk to them and you can walk away.
Yeah.
And if you walk away, they're going to be a little insulted. And when you come back, they're going to be like, really? Really? Can I continue?
Yeah.
And it's a little thing, but it means a lot because they feel real.
Yeah.
And I think that from that all the way up to how the cult operates, to how people talk. And the one other thing that I would say is, you know, one of the things that bothers me sometimes in video games is when you go and you meet AI that's out in the world and they have every piece of information at their disposal. They know everything about the world. And you're like, really, guys? It's like an encyclopedia.
They kind of tell on themselves.
Yeah, and you're like, wait a minute. Let's build people that don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
They have information. They have disinformation. They have false information. They have no clue. It just feels real. And so when you think about the strata of a world and building characters like that, you've got to, you know, the devil's in the details.
Nice.
Yeah. So I want to ask, speaking of cults, I want to ask, you know, cults can be very graphic, very explicit at times. You know, when we see coverage, it's sensationalistic, et cetera. So how did you kind of decide on what would be things we see in the game, things that wouldn't be seen in the game for both of you? Because I've never met a cult expert before, so this is fascinating.
Sure. I think that it's a good question from the standpoint of, you know, how far do you go, what do you do, and what are the moments? And for us, it was just about, you know, we know we're a first-person game.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so there's an opportunity to have you meet magnetic people in the game, and they step into your comfort zone. But at the same time, you know, we know that some of our gameplay, we want you to be to have bombastic moments and crazy moments, but we also want to have intimate moments. So I think for us, we just tried to keep it real, and that's why we went with the family, right? There's some really interesting things we learned from Rick about the bureaucracy of cults and moment to moment, you know, what was it like for them to operate on a Tuesday? How did they talk? And there was one thing in particular where I started to hear about the language they would use when they spoke to each other. They had their own language. And that's something you talked about quite a bit.
Well, I think what I was, this is my first time ever in a video game consulting. Mm. And what I was just blown away by was the attention to detail. Mm. And how nuanced and complex the character of Joseph Seed is, that magnetic personality, that ability to penetrate into the cracks in people's lives. I thought that was just fascinating. But what you see in Far Cry 5 is not only a composite in the cult leader, but a composite in the cult itself. So what we need to realize is that cults are not defined by belief, but rather by behavior, structure, dynamics. So what you see in the game is classic. You see the absolute authoritarian cult leader who is the defining element and driving force of the group. Whatever he says is right is right. Whatever he says is wrong is wrong. And what you see also is a process of breaking people down through either persuasion or through drugs to get control, to get undue influence over their lives. And then finally, what you see in a destructive cult, and you see it here in spades, is the danger, the imminent danger and the destruction that is done by the leader who sees anything as justifiable. The ends justify the means.
So we have a couple more questions before we have to let you go. Dan, I wanted to ask you specifically, when you have a game this big, what's the hardest part about trying to both give folks freedom, but also trying to let them go down the path that you're trying to tell in a narrative sense and also in a gameplay sense where you want everyone to see all the tools and all the candy that you've kind of put into the game?
Yeah.
Good job.
I think that there's a lot of tricky parts to this, right?
You gotta
build a world that's generous and that allows the player to kind of drink in the world the way they want and go where they want.
Sure.
You also want a story that doesn't force the player to have a prescription of each moment, that it's not, you know, I think we know that there's a certain cadence to movies and there's a certain cadence to books. And when we watch television, we're used to stories being unfolding in a way that we're used to. And I think that when you build a choose-your-own-adventure and you allow and you encourage the players to go out there and author their own stories and go in any direction, it's terrifying as a dev because you don't know where they're going to be. Like, we don't know moment to moment if you're going to have one guns for hire, two guns for hire, a bear, a dog, you're playing in co-op, you're playing alone,
right,
where you went, who you went, and it's chaotic, but we think we do that well from the standpoint of leaning into, take the tone of grabbing Herc, going out with an RPG and blowing a bunch of stuff up, and then having an earnest moment with the cult leader. And I think that Far Cry has done that well in 3 and 4 in Primal. And I think in 5, people are really going to like the idea that we're not prescriptive.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and do something a certain way. As a player, you kind of get to be a dev.
Yeah.
And you get to author your own story the way you want. It takes a little bit of getting used to, but I think people are really going to respond to it. Players are going to love it.
Cool. Tanya, you get the last question.
All the pressure. We talked with the lead writer before you all,
yep.
And so I was wondering, in terms of, you know, like letting the player kind of make their own destiny and figure things out, were there games where you've seen it well, or things that you can talk about that won't spoil Far Cry 5, where you're like, that's that key moment, and no matter what a player does, it's kind of an aha moment for them, no matter where they are in the story?
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, I think that when you look at some other brands out there and you look at other stories that are being authored, there's some interesting things happening in stories right now. And I think that, you know, when I watch television and I watch, ordinarily when you're a kid, you'd invest in a character. And in modern television now, it can happen where a character you invest in is just gone.
Right.
They're just disappeared.
Right.
And I think that it's interesting to know that the way we're telling stories is changing, and that games is even at the forefront of that. Being able to give you the opportunity to go anywhere you want, play the game anywhere you want. And I think that it's really interesting to watch players be able to assemble their own stories. And when we made Far Cry, that was the deal. Freedom, opportunity, surprise. The freedom to go in any direction that you want to, the opportunity to meet a character, to play with that character, to meet a person, to do whatever, and the surprise that the game and all the system were going to rub into each other and collide in this sort of wonderful anecdote factory. That's what we built.
Gents, thank you so much
cool.
for building this amazing world, coming on with us to Spawn on Me, and letting me hit everybody in the head with shovels
cool.
that I could possibly do.
Cool.
We hope to have you both on the show at some point.
That'd
would be
cool.
fantastic.
Great.
And Ricago, we have a lot of fun stuff in store. Far Cry 5 has a lot of fun stuff in store. Definitely cop it when it comes out, and we'll see you in a little bit.